Oh, thank you, Jesus. This morning, would you turn with me to the epistle to the Hebrews, the fourth chapter? A couple of verse, several verses have been on my heart. This chapter starts with about talking about a rest for the people of God and to abide in that rest to by faith. And I want to go to the 14th verse, though. That's where the text, the primary text is. It says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us, in this verse, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. And I want to stop the reading right there. The title of this message, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. That is the encouragement, the exhortation that comes to me in this word of God this morning. And I want to pass it on to you, because that's where the church needs to be, is to come boldly before the throne of grace. And this letter was written to these Hebrew Christians, and I want you to understand how important and what a contrast this exhortation is. Let us therefore boldly come to the throne of grace. You see, in the old covenant, they could not approach the Holy of Holies, which was the throne, which was a foreshadowing of the throne room in heaven, praise God, that in the tabernacle and in the tent of meetings where they had, there was a cube that was made that was separated from the rest of the tabernacle where the Ark of the Covenant was, where the priest once a year could go in on Yom Kippur. He could go in once a year to offer up the sacrifice for the atonement of the sin for himself and the people. And he was allowed in once per year. And the congregation, they stood without. They could not come in. This is too holy. You can't come in here. Only the priest, and only under certain conditions, he had to be cleansed. He washed himself. He had dressed. He put on the robes of righteousness, and he was adorned in a certain way. And he had to carry the incense, the incense with him, and that smoke would rise that would obscure his vision of God, because God would come into that room once a year. He would come in and bless, praise God, and accept the sacrifice of the atonement of the blood of the lamb or the goat that was used, praise God. And the procedure was to pick out two goats, very similar and as perfect as they could find them. And one goat was the scapegoat, and one goat was used for the sacrifice. And they killed the one goat, and he brought in the blood of the lamb of that goat, and he sprinkled it on the mercy seat with his hand. He sprinkled it on the mercy seat. And when he was done, he would come out. And the congregation was without. They were wondering, is God going to accept the atonement of that sacrifice for our sins? And when he would come out, they were relieved and rejoiced that God accepted that sacrifice. And he took his bloody hands and he laid it on the other goat, the scapegoat, and they let it out into the wilderness to signify the sins had been passed away from the people onto the sacrifice. Praise God. And here he says, come boldly to the throne of grace. Why? Because we have a great high priest that's passed into heavens, praise God. A great high priest, one who is perfect in every way. Oh, praise the Lord. Jesus, the Son of God. And then he says, a call to order. Let us hold fast the profession, our profession, praise God. Let us hold fast our profession. Let us hold on to what God has shown us and our testimony and our the things that we have testified and spoken about. Let us hold fast that profession. We started in this race and we committed to the Lord. We were going to follow him all the way. We were going to do as best we could and continue to fight the good fight of faith. In the 10th chapter, I believe, yes, in the 10th chapter, it talks about having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Oh, praise the Lord. By a new and living way, this is the old covenant is gone, and now it's a new covenant because of what Jesus did, and it's tied to the crucifixion. When Jesus gave up the ghost in that moment, it said the curtain that separated the Holy of Holies from the holy place in the tabernacle was rent in twain, signifying that now a way into the holiest of all was there. That curtain was there on purpose because God could not look upon sin. God's eyes were too pure that he could not see. People couldn't just wander in to the Holy of Holies. There was a process. There was a problem with that. But now, through the covenant, through Jesus Christ, through the sacrifice on the cross, through the shedding of his blood, praise God, we have access into the throne room of heaven, praise God. We have access right into the Holy of Holies. Oh, praise the Lord. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where you are in your spiritual development, where you are in your spiritual journey. You may be new or you may be in the Lord a long time, but we all, praise God, because of the blood, have access into the throne room of heaven. Oh, glory to his name. And we can approach God. Why? Because he sees us not as we are, but he sees us through the filter of the blood, washed clean, cleansed, oh, by the precious blood of Jesus. You've not been redeemed with silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, my Lord, my Lord. Would you help us this morning as we come into the sanctuary, oh God, to recognize that we have come into a holy place, a place where God abides, a place where he dwells, praise God. And the only reason we're here this morning is because the blood of Jesus, because he reconciled us back to the Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We would still be like the congregation outside of the tabernacle. No way of getting in. You can't come in here. You're not cleansed. You're not able. God is too holy for us. But praise God, through the blood of Jesus, we have been washed clean. Oh, glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. It is no small thing, my brother, and say, well, I'm just going to church. No, you're not just going to church. You're going to where God dwells. You're going to a place where the Holy Spirit dwells. You're going to a place where God is there. Hallelujah. Oh, praise his name. Praise his name. The priest had to carry incense. The smoke that would rise would obscure his vision, that he could not see God. He could not see him clearly because the smoke was blocking his vision, because God was too holy and too pure. Oh my God. And here we are in the new covenant times. We'd be riding down the street in our car. We could be at the job. We could be in our prayer closet at home, and we can call on God and walk right into the throne room of heaven. Oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hold fast the profession, your profession of faith. Praise God. I wanna look at that again. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. That's what the church needs to do today. We need to draw near in full assurance of faith, praise God. having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Before, when we kneel down and pray, when we come into his presence, well, our prayer, our thought ought to be, Lord, cover me with your precious blood. If there's any sin stain, if there's anything there, Lord, cover me with your precious blood and wash me clean. Praise God. Let nothing interrupt the communion. Let nothing hinder the communion I want to feel with you. Praise God. But let the precious blood cleanse me. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. He says, in our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Without wavering. Is your faith wavering? Is your faith wavering this morning? Have you slowed down spiritually? Have you cooled off spiritually? Has it been a while since you felt the presence of the Holy Ghost? Has it been a while since you felt the manifestation? Has it been a while when you've really consecrated and you've spent time in prayer and spent time with the Lord? Hold fast the profession of your faith without wavering. My brother and sister, we got to stand strong today more than ever, because what is around us, the evil that is being released, the evil that is in our midst. We had beautiful prayers yesterday in the prayer meeting. We prayed for this election. We prayed for this Amendment 3 that I believe they're talking about making abortion, whatever it is they're going to make it. Lord, help us. Evil, evil, it's evil. The enemy is working in his ways, and we're going to pray and trust God and believe. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, we're praising and we're trusting you, Lord, that you're going to do a great and mighty work. Oh, praise the Lord. Without wavering, without wavering. Oh, praise God. Let me go back to the fourth chapter. If we have not a high priest which cannot be tested, touched by with the feeling of our infirmities, he knew hunger, he knew sadness, he knew persecution, he knew disappointment, he knew the loss of friends. He knew to be scorned and beaten. Everything he experienced, yet without sin. A high priest that's going into heaven sits at the right hand of the Father, that understands everything about us this morning, everything about us, experienced more than we can ever experience. And yet he bids us to come, praise God. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and grace, find grace to help in the time of need. I don't know about you, brother and sister, but I need mercy this morning. I need the mercy of God, praise God, because I fail the Lord in my best attempts, in my most ardent attempts to stay strong. I fail the Lord. I get discouraged sometimes. I get weak sometimes, and I need mercy. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord, for your mercy, and their mercy is there available at the throne of grace this morning. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Lord, help us. Help us this morning as we call on your name. You know, God bids us to come, whatever you need in your life. Don't say, well, maybe God's tired of me. I fail the Lord too much, or I'm weak, I'm this, I'm that. And is God going to listen to my prayer? Yes, he is. The word of God just tells us, he encourages, exhorts us to come boldly to the throne of grace, where we may find mercy, praise God. If you read, we didn't read this, but in the few verses preceding, it says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto him, unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. You see what it says? God knows everything about you and me. Everything. Absolutely everything about you. The psalmist says he knows my downsitting and my uprising. Acquainted with all my ways. He knows the very thoughts that come into my head. God knows everything about us. So, and then on top of that, he still says, come boldly to the throne of grace. Pray, in spite of how you are, in spite of your past, in spite of your failures, come boldly to the throne of grace. Praise God. Praise God. You know, one of the most liberating things I have found in my prayer life when I go before the Lord is, and I confess the things that displease the Lord, I don't highlight. I don't just give them the Cliff Notes version. You know what I mean? I go into detail. Lord, I said this. Lord, I thought this. I didn't show it. Nobody saw it. But Lord, this is my thought. And you saw it. You heard it. And I come before you and ask forgiveness and cover me with your precious blood. That's one of the most liberating things I have found in my prayer life, is to be honest and open before the Lord. You know, you ever had your mom and dad question you, well, did you do it well? You know, I don't know, I might have done it, or somebody did it. I'm not sure who did it. We don't confess. We don't lay it out there. I found we've got a heavenly Father who loves us so very much. He already knows it all. Praise God. We're kidding ourselves. And, well, I'm not going to say it because, well, like God doesn't know. He knows. He sees it all. And in spite of your attempt to placate yourself and to put a facade on it, God sees what is true. Praise God. And he still says, come boldly to the throne of grace. Oh, don't you love that this morning? Praise God, praise God. He's seen us at our worst. He's seen us when we were in denial. He's seen us when we were misbehaving. He's seen us when we went astray. He's seen us when we sinned. Even in our thoughts, he saw it all. And yet, he says, come boldly to the throne of grace. He recognizes we're imperfect and we're weak and we need his strength and we need his forgiveness. Praise God. Aren't you glad for the blood of Jesus that cleanses all unrighteousness? Aren't you glad that God is so loving and caring this morning? That, oh, in spite of how we are, he loves us so very much. He protects us, as the brothers and sister testified, how God is on the scene even when we're not thinking of him. Even when we don't have a moment to say, oh, God, help me. God is there. Praise his name. Always watching over us. Oh, Lord, help us this morning. I'm going to close right here. Lord, we need help this morning. We need victory. We need a breakthrough. It's time to get out of where we are and come boldly to the throne of grace. It's time to say, Lord, this is time. There's no more, I can wait till tomorrow. You can't wait till tomorrow. It's now. The Holy Spirit wants to work now. We're in dangerous ground now, and we need God's presence and God's strength and God's power. Don't say, well, next week, next year, when I settle down, when I don't know, maybe I got to think about this more. Don't stop thinking and go to the throne of grace and say, Lord, answer. Lord, show me your ways. Help me, oh God. Well, I got time. You know, I think some Christians in general approach God like, you know, thinking of the initial stage of salvation when they're first convicted and first come in contact with God, and how merciful he is and how gracious he is and how loving and kind he is. And they get in that mode of saying, well, you know, look, God forgave me. God, even of my past, even the things I did, God still had mercy on me. Yes, he did. And then we come to know Christ and we make a commitment, take the water baptism or to serve him. And, you know, we still stay in that mentality of God is loving and kind and condescending and allows us to just go on our merry way. No, there is a responsibility. Once we know him, there are a responsibility and accountability that we have to Jesus Christ for the word of God, for the things that he says in his word, and to live by those things. And that's why we got to hold fast the profession of our faith, not to say, well, I can coast now. There's no coasting in this. There's no retirement in this gospel. There's no time to say, well, we're going to get on the side and just sit in the pew and just kind of put our arms on the pew and relax. There is no relaxing, my brother and sister. You're either pressing for the kingdom or you're going in the wrong direction. I got to be clear with you so you understand. Lord, help us to press for that kingdom. Help us, Lord, to exercise in the faith, praise God, that he may move us. He may move us. Well, I don't testify very much, and that's not my thing. I don't raise my hand, and I don't pray out loud. And well, okay, that may be the way you were, but that's not the way you have to stay. Amen. God, it says we change from glory to glory. It says we just sang that song, Holy, Holy, Holy God. I am changed. I am changed in the presence of a holy God. I am changed, praise God. I'm no longer the old Ron. I'm the new Ron, praise God. Every day I want to be new, praise God. I am changed in the presence of a holy God. Get in the presence of a holy God, my brother and sister, and recognize and watch what happens. You'll change. You'll find yourself drawing closer to him, and you'll have an abhorrence for sin and displeasing the Lord that you never had before. And God will help you and strengthen you. Praise God. Change us, oh God. Change us. Let us therefore, I'm going to close, brother, sister, come boldly unto the throne of grace. Boldly, confidence. Not the boldness of man, but a confidence. God loves me. God knows all about my past. I can't tell God one thing that he doesn't already know. Well, God, you know, when I was in the fifth grade, I did this and this and that. No, there's not one thing you can tell God that he doesn't know already. Praise God that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. May the Lord encourage you this morning. May his name be praised.